Hey, greetings, this is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hope you're having a glorious day today. I want to talk about kind of a detailed topic. Don't bid Godspeed, but love your enemies. Don't bid Godspeed, but love your enemies. This topic came up with some saints that were talking, decided it would be a good topic to teach on. Pretty detailed. Got to get right at it. Don't know how long this is going to take, but I got a lot of scriptures to cover. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm out in a busy area. So let's talk about this concept of don't bid Godspeed, but love your enemies. The Bible tells us much about loving our enemies, and then we have to take that truth and rightly divide it, cut it straightway, right? And it's all based on the context, God's commands to us, and then applying it correctly in each situation we encounter. I'm going to try to help you do that today. So we'll go to some scripture. Jesus Christ sets the standard for us in the Sermon on the Mount teaching. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Okay, so Jesus brings the love of the enemy right to the forefront, right? And how we do this? Well, let's see. He tells us that we pray for them and do good to them. So there you go. You pray for enemies. You can do good to them. We'll talk about that a little bit. And we have to understand how and in what situation to do this correctly based on the rest of God's word. We don't just take one verse and apply it all over. We apply God's word correctly in different situations, right? Let's talk about another account, the Good Samaritan. In Luke chapter 10, you could start reading about verse 30. I'm not going to read all those verses. Here we have a Samaritan who was really an enemy, or they were not in unity with Israel. Israel looked down on them. And he was a neighbor to a man who was in need. And what did he do? He met his basic needs, right? Picked him out of the ditch. Healed his wounds, took him to an inn, paid to provide for him. What a loving thing to do, right? Loving your neighbor. Now, in context, this doesn't mean that that would change the unbiblical, heretical differences of faith. It doesn't mean that they would become best friends. No, he loved them. He met their basic needs. In our case, we would share the biblical gospel with that person, no matter who they were. And unless they repent and become a brother or sister, we move on in life. We loved them. We met a neighbor's basic needs. We honored and glorified God. And then we move on. You see how that works? I hope you see that. We're going to echo that through this teaching. Brother Apostle Paul taught this concept too. Romans 12:20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That means bring conviction upon him. Wow, I've hated this guy and he gave me food and water. That should make them feel conviction. All right? So same basic idea, an enemy that needs a basic need. You're absolutely good and God-honoring to meet that need based upon the context. And again, we're going to talk about three main situations. We'll get to that in a minute. The next thing I want to talk about, this scripture verse, we are commanded to not bid Godspeed to Antichrist people. These would be people that actively, spiritually deny that Jesus was the Christ sent from God in the flesh. 2 John 1:7-9. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. 2 John 1:10. If there come unto you anyone, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not unto your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Let's talk about that word Godspeed. Chero, it means to be full of cheer, calm, happy, well off, a salutation, farewell to be glad, greeting, hailing of joy, rejoice, be glad, thrive well, basically, in today's terminology, it would mean, have a nice day. You don't want to do that with Antichrist types, all right? Choose your words very wise. Use wisdom. We can be loving. We can fill some basic needs. But then we have to know where to draw the line. This is going to help you. Let's talk about the three areas, the three main areas that I think enemies, three main areas of enemies that we come across. Not all, but three main. Number one, those who are of the world. They oppose the Christian faith. They don't believe in it. They don't have like a spiritual endeavor they're chasing. They're not a cultist. They're not New Age. They're not this or not that. This could be an angry neighbor who doesn't like you because you have faith, or a family member who just loves the things of the world and you try to live holy. James 4:4 says, to be a friend of the world makes you an enemy of God. So that's a number one enemy that I think we encounter. And we're going to go through how to deal with each one of these. Well, first we're going to identify the three groups. Number two, the Antichrist groups that we talked about. These are people that have a spiritual endeavor or nature about them. These are New Agers, Hindus, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Islam, things like that. Mostly the non-so-called Christian people that have another God, other gods, deny Jesus as the God. They oppose Jesus as God in their active faith. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Okay? So that's who we're talking about there, that Antichrist. So it says, don't bid them Godspeed. They are actively opposed to who Christ is in their life and in their spiritual endeavors. Number three, the third group of enemies, those who are rebellious or claimed born-again Christians or Christians who live in sin and false doctrine. Romans 16:17 says, mark those who cause division by leaving sound doctrine and avoid them. All right, so that's the three groups that I think we face mostly. Let's go through and discuss each group to help you. How to carry out loving your neighbor, but not bidding them Godspeed. The first category, we have no commandment to avoid them outright. These are worldly people. We're called to live and preach the gospel to them, live it before them, and then preach the gospel to them. We're to love them. We're not any better than them, all right? Always preaching the gospel, always showing them the truth of God and the love of God in us. If they have a need, a basic need, of course, they're starving to death, give them food. They're thirsting for water, give them water. They have no clothing, get them some clothing, some godly clothing. And this would be a godly sign of love and care for a neighbor, right? By doing this. But it always comes with the gospel and a warning. The gospel, of course, warns you of your fate without Christ. You're going to be judged by this holy God. So you meet their need. You love on them. Preach the gospel. Warn them of their fate. Tell them you'll help them in Bible study. But if they don't want the gospel, they don't want truth, they don't want any of that from you, be wise on how much more time you spend around them. As the Bible says, lest you get caught up in their sinful ways. You've met their basic needs. They're not bleeding to death. They're not starving. They're not dying of thirst. They're not naked. You told them the gospel. You loved on them. They don't want it. Move on from them. Move on and live your life for Christ. You've done your job right there. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We don't spend a lot of time with those people, but the Bible does not tell you you have to avoid them. So be very, very cautious and wise how you spend your time around them. Jesus ate with sinners. He didn't sin with sinners. He also didn't spend his time with mockers who didn't want to hear the truth of God. So we must balance this out rightly. Second category, all right? This is that Antichrist group we talked about. Now, we can still show them godly love when we first know of them. Yep, we can still fill any basic needs. I'm talking they're starving, they need water, they need clothing, maybe they're broke down with their car and your husband helps them get their car started. Yeah, we can do things like that to love our neighbor. And then we always share the gospel truth with them. and call them to repentance and invite them into the kingdom of God. Let me give you an example. Brother Apostle Paul showed pagans love on Mars Hill. Go read about it in Acts 17. He preached the gospel to the pagans. He told them about Christ crucified, called them to repentance. Yeah, that's how he loved the pagans. He filled that need for them. They needed the gospel. They were okay. They obviously had food and clothing, and they were doing well there. But he filled a need, and he preached to them. And they said, oh, we'll hear of you again some other time. And they sent him off. I can promise you, if Brother Paul ran into them, first of all, he didn't just hang out with them and just be neighborly and talk about weather, Roman politics, and things like that with them. No. Paul would have called that vain jangling. Read about vain jangling in 1 Timothy 1:6. You know what vain jangling is? Random talk that's babble. Vain jangling, vain talking, empty talk. That's pretty much what the world does mostly today, empty talk. Paul would have been focused on the gospel. So if he met those people, he would have said, hey, didn't I remind you about the gospel? Have you repented yet? And if they said, no, I'm still serving these false gods, Paul would have said, lest you repent, you're going to perish. He would have went on his way. No need to have small talk. He loved them in a godly fashion by calling them to the truth, right? So in this case, this is probably a very common case for people. Let's give some practical help. As I said, if Paul ran into that pagan, he's walking down the street. Hey, Paul, remember, I met you in our temple at Mars Hill. Yeah, Paul would have warned them about the gospel, reminded them, invited them to Bible study. Paul had a local place to Bible study. But if there was no interest and they wanted to just be pagans, Paul would have reminded them, hey, I loved you. I told you the gospel. I warned you of repentance. Wrath is on the way. You best know that. Paul would not have had fleshly, man-pleasing, idle talk with them. He wouldn't have bought them a burger just to hang out with them. They weren't starving to death. In godly love, he would invite them to come into the kingdom via the gospel and then warn them of the severity and share about the goodness of God. He didn't bid them Godspeed. Nope. They are a direct enemy of God and via their Antichrist ways. But Paul loved them in a godly way, didn't do wrath on them, didn't treat them like he was far better than them. He loved them with the great love and grace of God and called them to repentance. So think about that. Paul didn't say, well, I gave him the gospel already. They don't want that. I'm just going to hang out with them now until they change their mind. No, you don't do that with a neighbor. You don't do that with somebody you work with. You don't do that with anyone else. Preach the gospel. Call them to it. If they don't come, you got to move on and not get caught up in vain jangling. After you do this with this group of people, the Antichrist, you share the gospel. You met a basic need. If they were starving, bleeding, hungry, thirsty, move on. Go on with your life. And you don't clutter your life up with such people. So here's another example. Let's say your neighbor is a New Ager. This topic actually came up. Your neighbor's a New Ager. You've already had the gospel talk with them. They don't want Jesus. They are Antichrist. They don't believe Christ came in the flesh. But they're just really nice people. They're nice people. All right. You were loving to them. You were truthful. They didn't have any basic needs to be met. They're not hungry. They're clothed. They have water. You remind them when you see them. They say, hey, neighbor, how are you? Well, you don't have to just ignore them and be mean-spirited and cold. If they turn your attention, you say, hey, I'm glad I saw you again. I'll give you an example of what you could say. I'm glad I saw you again. This reminds me to pray for you. Do you remember our last talk we had about the gospel and who Jesus Christ is? And if they go, yeah, I heard that. I'm not interested. Well, I need to remind you still that lest you repent, you have no hope of eternal life. Christ is the only way. I'd invite you to Bible study anytime. I got to be on my way. Remember what I said. We love you. We'll be praying for you. You need to repent. Because we care for your soul. You see how if you keep using the light of God's word, John 3:19-21, the light has come, but people that love their sin, they run in the darkness. If you use that as a shield, it's going to be a protection for you, your family, everyone around you that's close to you. Those people usually run and hide in the dark. You know what? It will not be long. If you do that 1, 2, 3 times, pretty soon they won't be approaching you anymore to ask, hey, how you doing? They'll say, oh, there's those Christians, and they're going to go the other way. Your children, whoever else is around you, is going to see, hey, my mom or dad loved those people with godly love, reminded them of the gospel, called them to truth and repentance, and the people weren't interested. So my mom and dad just went on their way. That's honoring God, and that's trying to save your neighbor's soul. Not a bunch of small talk, not still buying them things that they don't need, not trying to be fleshly and man-pleasing. No, bold, godly truth. Let me give you another quick example. I street preach, and I have men get in my face all the time. They get right in my face, and I go, what are you going to do, hit me? And they go, yeah, don't tempt me. And I tell them, listen, I'm here to preach the truth. You need the truth of the gospel. Without it, you're going to perish. Even if you beat me up, I'm still going to love you, and I'm going to preach the gospel to you. And they usually just mock me and turn around and walk away. That's my loving them. I didn't get in their face and call them names. I didn't punch them and wrestle them to the ground. I loved them with the gospel. I also did not say, hey, let's go have a pizza together and not talk about God and just be buddies. No, that would be fleshly and man-pleasing. I loved them with the gospel. They can hit me and I'll still love them. Not going to hit them back. Yeah, that's how we love our enemies. Outside of just filling basic needs. I hope you see my point in this. Love them with the gospel truth, not in fleshly man-pleasing ways. The third group, sinful claim saints. All right, this is the easiest group for me to teach you how to deal with, as we're commanded to love them via Matthew 18 discipline, which basically says, go to them, call them out of their sin. If they won't come out of their sin, put them out of the body. If they choose their sin and heresy, mark them and avoid them. Romans 16, 17, I already quoted that. Titus 3, 10 says, warn a heretic, then reject him. A heretic is a person that teaches false doctrine. Then, after you've done that, that's loving to do that, right? If you see them out and about, you actually should just turn away and not even look at them. You're not interested in saying, hi, how are you? You're not interested in saying anything. You've already marked them, rebuked them, told them they need to repent. If they come up to you and they say, hey, neighbor, how are you? Same situation. You look at them with a stern, loving look and say, we had this conversation. You are no longer in fellowship with us. We love you. You need to repent. You're going to be put outside the kingdom. Like the man in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul turned him over for the destruction of his flesh to Satan. You tell them, you need to repent. Per 1 Timothy 5, I'm rebuking you publicly. Until you do that, we have no fellowship. Then you turn from them and you walk away. This also teaches anyone with you, your children, that there's a standard of God. We don't break the standard for anyone. If you live in sin, you don't get fellowship. There's always a separation for sin. Yeah. And that separation in this case, separation from sin is us from God. In this case, it's sinners from true saints. So a key point here I want to cover. Remember to consider, godly love is loving their eternal soul, not their corruptible flesh to make it happy. Don't be a fleshly man pleaser. Ladies, men, brother and sisters, don't be a fleshly man pleaser. Jesus wasn't one, nor was Paul, nor was Peter, nor was John the Baptist. Love people's eternal soul by being bold and stern in eternal truth. Go read Matthew 23 and see how Jesus loved the Pharisees with bold truth. He called them hypocrites 9 times in that chapter. Nah, he didn't feed them or sit around and make vain jangling talk with them, did he? No. So in the end of all of this, to glorify God, we're to act as agents of messengers, workers of godly love, but with the gospel truth. Yep, we should meet basic needs to love our enemies. They're bleeding to death, they're hungry, they're dying of thirst, they have need clothes. And we can preach the gospel to them after we've met those needs. How can I preach to somebody who's starving to death, is thirsty, is bleeding, or is sitting there naked? How could I do that? No. I meet those bare needs, all right? I meet those bare needs, and then I can preach the biblical gospel and call them to repentance. Keep in mind, in Jesus' day, this is really important. In Jesus' day, there was real needy, starving, poor all over their nation. In most nations today, it just isn't that way, unless you live in drought-stricken Africa. It's not that way. Today, we love by, most people have their basic needs met, food, clothing, housing, water. Today, we love by gospel truth, calling them to repentance, reminding of the goodness and severity of God. And then we cling to that truth and live out these standards accordingly. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, we're to be content with food and raiment. Fill people's needs that way. Food and raiment. Don't be thinking you got to get them apartments. You got to buy them food for the next year. Most people should be working and taking care of themselves. We teach them how to do that. But then we follow up, most importantly, with the gospel and the warning of what's coming. Another main point to take note of. We are not ever to think we are going to try on our own to bring out our anger or our wrath on our enemies. Remember I told you about the guy that wants to fight me? I can never think I can be godly if I pull out a billy club and hit him. How godly is that going to be? No. This is God's job alone. Never think that you can bring out wrath and anger. That's God's job, all right? Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay it, saith the Lord. So God's going to make all things right one day, and he's going to avenge all sin, false ways, and all enemies, and all antichrists. You can rest in that, saints. You can rest in that. Hebrews 10:13. From henceforth expecting till his enemies are made his footstool. I like that. Oh yeah. Love those people today. Preach the gospel to them, because if they don't repent one day, if they don't repent, they're going to be made a footstool of our Savior. What a terrible thing for them to face if they don't repent. Revelation 11:5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So talk about God's going to deal with his enemies. In Revelation, it says, the saints say, how long, Lord, before you avenge us? Yeah, vengeance is coming, but it's the Lord's. It is not ours. This is our duty. This is our call, saints, to obey God, to hold fast in his truth by how we live. And by this we love him. 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, we keep his commandments. Then, the natural outpouring of this, as God works in us and his Holy Spirit and his word, we love our neighbor, right? Absolutely. As we follow Christ, we love our neighbor, and we also love our enemy. With the gospel, with bare needs, then stern, bold love to back up how we should handle each situation. By us doing this, filling basic needs, if we see them, basic needs, mostly sharing the gospel, warning them of their fate, warning them of the severity and the goodness of God, treating them by God's commandments. See, God knows better than you and I. Yeah. Friendship evangelism doesn't work. Yeah. God knows better. When we do these kind things, then when we have to rebuke or turn away from these groups we talked about, as they reject Christ, they have a chance to see their need. Why? Because godly, true saints have told them hard truth, then turned away from them, reminded them if you see them again, then let the Holy Spirit work on them. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict them. God knows best how this is going to happen. Through our loving, meeting needs, then preaching the gospel, then stern reminders, and then the Holy Spirit can work, as I said. Friendship evangelism never works. Go read Acts 2. Peter didn't say, anybody want more coffee and donuts and some more music? No. Peter said, repent and be baptized. I like that. Yeah. Last point I got for you, saints. Godly love calls them to new life, to heaven, to the kingdom of God via the Spirit and the gospel. Loving them in the flesh, always saying the pleasing things to them, void of the gospel truth and accountability and reminder of the wrath of God that's coming, that leads them to their eternal death. So I have a question for you as we close. How would you want to be loved if you were a lost soul and set for hell? Would you want to be told the truth and reminded every time someone saw you sternly? Or you just want to get bought pizza, hamburgers, and get waved to and say, hi neighbor, nice to see you. And then they go, hey, that godly Christian treats me good. I must be good before God. No, the warning goes out, then you warn them, then you treat them appropriately. That is godly love. Matthew 22:39. And the second is likened unto it. He's talking about the great commands. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you want somebody to tell you about your sin and destruction that you're headed for, we need to be that same person. Otherwise, we're hypocrites, right? We want to make it to heaven. We want people to tell us hard truth, but we don't want to do that for somebody else. Yeah, we don't want to be spiritual hypocrites. I hope going over this, covering how you can love your neighbor, it's loving to tell the truth. It's loving to meet basic needs, then to remind of the goodness and the severity of God, and then to send people on their way. Then if they see you again and they want to say hi, it's loving to remind them all over again. Remember the talk we had? Yeah, that's the most loving thing you can do. I hope that helps you. Shoot me an email if you have any questions on this. I think it was a great topic. Thankful for the saints that bring these up. Don't bid Godspeed to the Antichrist enemies, but love your enemies so you can glorify God. Hey, this has been Brother James. Till next time, let us know how we can help you. Go to don'tperish.com. Thousands of resources for you. Loving God, loving our neighbor. Yes, loving our enemies, but doing it biblically. We love you all. May God be praised.